In connection with our exhortation this morning, we've been asked to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We'll give our attention to Brother Johnny.
Good morning. The title is Earthen Vessels. In the seventh verse of 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul says, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And surely this is something for all of us to think about. The Apostle Paul seems to be speaking primarily of himself in this chapter, yet most of what he says applies to all of Christ's followers, and clearly was intended to be understood that way. The earthen vessels he speaks of are mortal or natural bodies, and we ourselves, and the treasure is, of course, the glorious gospel of Christ, which he speaks of in the preceding verses. It is a striking picture and a wonderful lesson that Paul presents to us here. Earthen vessels, we know, are fragile and easily broken. And in those days were the most common and cheapest vessels available. And compared to the priceless value of the treasure Paul speaks of as being in them, the vessel themselves has no significant value whatsoever. The purpose of putting these treasures in earthen vessels, Paul explains, was to show that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. This is the same important lesson pointed out to us from one end of the scriptures to the other. And yet it seems to be the hardest of all the lessons for us to learn. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, said Jesus. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And it is this spirit word of God preached by Jesus and his apostles and recorded for us in our Bibles that can still be our most priceless possession. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul in Romans 8:1-16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and the wonder of it is that God is still putting these priceless treasures into such earthen vessels as we are today. Paul, as we know, was a special chosen vessel of God to bring this glorious gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. And therefore, in the first verse of our chapter, he tells us, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, or do not lose heart. Paul had a special reason for knowing the greatness of that mercy, for appreciating this ministry that was entrusted to him. For had he not persecuted the Christians with a great zeal, than almost everyone else. And his only consolation was that he did it ignorantly in unbelief. Thus in Acts 26, he tells King Agrippa, I barely thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things also I did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. All this weighed heavily on his mind, as is shown by his frequent references to it. And no doubt the thoughts of it was one of the compelling reasons that drove him all the rest of his life to do his most for Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, he says, For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the ecclesia of God. In writing to Timothy, Paul says, This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, if Jesus could forgive and save as great a sinner as Paul was, it certainly proved that there was hope for anyone else that would believe in Jesus. Therefore, his case would forever serve as a pattern or example to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life, to life everlasting. But coming back to our verse two of our chapter, we have further evidence of Paul's determination to serve the cause of Jesus to the utmost of his ability. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. He says, but by manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Thus, his one purpose was to faithfully reveal the truth that is as it is in Jesus. And he goes on to say, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded their minds of them which believe not. Neither Paul nor anyone else could do anything for those who would not believe. They were already lost, and rejecting their only means of escape made their position hopeless. But of these who believe, Paul says in the sixth verse, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And this brings us back to the earthen vessels of verse 7. With their priceless treasure that we have already considered. However, besides these favored vessels unto honor, as the Apostle Paul calls them in Romans 9, these are others which he refers to as vessels unto dishonor, and vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Some of these letters are also mentioned in Psalms 2, where we read, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Yet as Paul points out, all are made of the same clay and of the same lump. The only difference, therefore, in the two classes is between those who become vessels of mercy because they believe, and those in whom, as Paul says, the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not. The former are saved because of the treasure which God has placed in them, while the latter, like all temporal things, are sooner or later destroyed. Paul sees no injustice in this, and in verse 22 through 24 of Romans 9 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. These vessels of mercy, in which God will make known the riches of his glory, are of course the same earthen vessel Paul speaks of in verse 7 of our chapter, which contains the priceless treasure of the knowledge of the glory of God. They are the men and women into whose heart God has shined to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They are as yet the same nature as the vessel of wrath, but instead of being doomed to destruction, they can look forward to a change that will transform them from the earthy to the heavenly. For as Paul writes in that wonderful chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This change is brought about through the marvelous works of that treasure within us, the spirit word of the gospel of Christ, which Paul says is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so we see once more that we, the earthen vessels, are as nothing, while the treasure within means everything. And this makes us feel very humble indeed. It brings us to mind a passage from Jeremiah which says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." This again is similar to the words of Paul we have already quoted. From verse 7 of our chapter, we have the treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, Paul goes on to say, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Here again, the life of Jesus manifested by Paul is the treasure, and the mortal flesh is the earthen vessel. And while the vessel was perishing, the life was yielding its fruit in those who had ears to hear. Death worketh in us, said Paul, but life in you. And so in spite of all his trials and affliction, Paul was never discouraged and never lost hope. What if his outward man did perish? His inward man was being renewed day by day. As he says in the 16th verse, he believed firmly in the things he was preaching. He had the same spirit of faith, he tells us, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. And he adds, we also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing, he says, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with him. This same hope is also our hope. For just as God raised up Jesus from the earthy state to the heavenly, so we believe he will raise us up also by Jesus and change us from earthen vessels, such as we are today, into his own glorious likeness. Hence, like Paul, we are not concerned too much about the passing of our outward man, for our hope is already set on that better life which is to come. We too have learned to take the troubles of our present life in stride, knowing our light affliction worketh for knowing our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. And the great secret of it all is revealed for us by Paul in the last verse of our chapter. We look not at the things which are seen, he says, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We'll have a memorial hymn.